Okay, so my name's Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square, London. It's the 7th of October, 2009, and the time is approximately 2:15 in the morning. Can you tell me, 1:15, sorry. Can you please tell me your name, your age and where you come from?
Okay, my name's Kate Corlett. I'm 49 years old and I live in Norfolk, but I originate from the Lancashire-Cheshire border.
Okay, thank you. When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I think I saw it on an arts programme on the television to begin with, and then in the press.
What was it that inspired you to put your name forward?
I thought, well, why not? Because I'm interested in art and its impact on other people. And I thought it was a good opportunity and it was just worth a try. It was only a case of sending off an email.
And how did you feel when you received the email or the telephone call to say you'd been allocated a slot?
To begin with, I couldn't believe it because I kept receiving emails saying that I hadn't been chosen. And then I got the one that said congratulations, so I didn't really believe it to begin with. And I was very excited about it and happy that my slot was 2 till 3, but didn't actually look. I thought it was 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And later on, when I'd calmed down a bit, I discovered that my slot was 2 a.m. to 3 a.m.
What have you decided to do for the duration of the hour?
Okay, well, I thought long and hard about what I should do because I felt that whatever I did on the plinth had to be creative. And I didn't really want it to be just me sat on the plinth. I felt that I had to make something because from my early childhood, whoever I've lived with or people that I've worked alongside with have always been creative, and I've always been a person that's fiddled about with things and created things. Even from a little girl, my dad always used to say that I would be hopeless if I couldn't have paper and sellotape, so I always used to make him things. So I've always carried on making things, and I spend my life going round places saying, oh, we could make that, but really never find the time to do it. So I felt this is my opportunity. I need to do something, and hopefully this sort of ripple will ripple out and children will have the opportunity to be creative by me putting pebbles on the plinth.
Great. So can you expand a bit on the significance of pebbles then?
Okay, because I'm representing Norfolk, I felt that I needed to sort of bring Norfolk to the plinth, so I chose to remove pebbles from a Norfolk beach close to where we live, and I've brought a pebble for every child in the school that I work at, and my aim is to arrange the pebbles on the plinth and take photographs so that they will become part of an archive book for school. And then I'm going to take pebbles back to school and the children will be allowed to choose their pebble, and then they're going to send their pebble on a journey, just like I've made a journey to the plinth. And they will send pebbles to other schools around the world, hopefully. And the schools will be asked to participate in a creative activity around the pebble they receive. And then hopefully they will send the pebble on to another school. So the pebbles will continue on a journey around the world. And hopefully we'll be able to keep tabs on the pebbles and find out where they've landed, maybe on another beach in another country.
Okay, and can you tell us a bit about the school you work in and what it is you do there?
Okay, I work in a primary school in Downham Market in Norfolk, and I'm currently employed with two roles. One role is the Every Child Counts teacher in the mornings, and in the afternoon I'm Senko for the school. So I look after the children with special educational needs and coordinate their lives within the school.
And how did you get into that line of work?
It's a bit of a long story. I used to live in the north of England with my husband and my young son, and we moved to near to Ely because of my husband's work. And I'd always worked as a secretary previously to that, but we didn't have any family around, and then I had another child and I needed a job that would have school holidays. So I started as a parent helper in school and did some qualifications, became a teaching assistant within the school, did some more qualifications. Then I wanted, my friend had started doing some days at a college doing some art, and she said, well, why don't you do that? So I did. So I spent 2 years doing a part-time degree and then transferred to do a degree full-time. Then I returned to school as a teaching assistant and worked again in school until the opportunity came that I could train to be a teacher. So then I went away, trained to be a teacher, and then went back to the same school. So now I'm a teacher there.
What's that been like for you?
An interesting and challenging journey. One that's taken quite a lot of my life. And I think one of the things about the plinth is that it is an opportunity for me to think about the rest of my life and to perhaps be more creative.
Can you expand on that a little bit, by saying you want to be more creative in the future?
Well, I think maybe I've come to a time in my life when I need to look to create opportunities and not necessarily just wait for opportunities to happen. So I know that I still have a creative spirit within me, and perhaps I should focus on that rather than focusing on things that maybe don't really matter.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you tell us then a little bit about how it feels to be one of 2,400 people that get to experience the One Another piece?
A little bit strange, really, because I've not actually set foot on the plinth yet, and it just seems like a strange, I know it's reality, but at the moment it doesn't really seem like that.
What have been your thoughts so far on the concept of the piece?
It's not been easy over the last few weeks since I got the email to decide what I should do on the plinth, because I didn't want it to be boring for the people that were watching it, but yet I wanted it to have some sort of sentimental significance to me and to other people, and I didn't want it to be just me on the plinth for an hour, people be bored, and then that was the end of it. So that's why I wanted to do something that will hopefully carry on for a long time to come.
Can you tell us then a little bit about what you feel to be the most important things to you at the moment in your life?
My family, my husband and my children. I'd like my children to be happy, safe, and to be able to become who they want to become. And it's sort of shifting tides, because they've moved away from the family house and now it's back to Clive and myself. So we're sort of reinventing our lives again.
And how's that for you at the moment?
It's good, but it seems unusual, because since we moved to Norfolk, although we've got friends in Norfolk, we don't have any family in Norfolk. So we've always had the children about. So it just seems different.
What hopes and fears do you have for the future, for the plinth, and for things maybe more general, if you're happy to answer that?
Do you mean specifically the plinth in Trafalgar Square? Well, I hope it continues to be a project that has opportunities for different artists to create something for the plinth, because it's site specific. But I wouldn't want to see a permanent sculpture on the plinth, because it limits the opportunities for people. However, I would like to see more public sculpture everywhere.
And can you tell us, if that leads back to your degree, can you tell us a bit about your degree, what it was like doing your degree? What were you studying, what kind of motivated you to do that, what it was like?
My degree was interesting, because when I first started, I'd just gone to college to do some art, because I've always faffed about and been able to draw, but I didn't do any, I didn't even do O-level art, so I didn't have any art qualifications. And I had to take a portfolio of things, and I remember showing this tutor a pot that I'd made, and he said, was it thrown? And I said, only just. But I think they just needed people on seats, and I got quite a lot of calligraphy, so I got a place. And I suppose really I was very lucky, because if I'd have been in a huge metropolitan city, I don't know whether I'd have got my place. So it was hard work because the children were little and I was working part of the time. But I realised that I could become myself again and not Sam's mum or Alex's mum or Clive's wife. So it made me think, yes, I can do these things. So that's why I went on to Cambridge to finish off my degree, which was in the study of art and art history.
And have you got any plans on developing those interests?
Oh, there's always plans on developing those interests. In fact, there's a room at the end of the garage that's loosely titled the art room, but not much art happens in there. So really the plan for future is to get my act together and do more art in my spare time.
I was just about to say, what do you get up to in your spare time then, apart from
schoolwork and more schoolwork?
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to add to being part of the One Another experience? How is it you're feeling half an hour before you go up onto the plinth?
I think I'm feeling quite calm, calmer than I thought I would feel about it. I don't want to let anybody down though. I don't want it to be something that people don't enjoy. I don't expect people to run around and shout hurrah, but I just want them to maybe think more about what they do and how they see other people.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.